I am very grateful to look at you here on the screen and see indeed how heaven will look. A people of every nation, kindred, and tongue, a people of every race. And that will be the focus of the message today. Before we enter into this message, I'd like to offer a word of prayer that the Holy Spirit alone be our teacher and preacher and wonderful counselor. Lord God Almighty, you are our God and Heavenly Father. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, our God incarnate, all things were made in heaven and on earth. You have created us, Adam's race, after your own heart and after your own image, to behold your glory and to experience your love in every sphere and aspect of life. Lord, we are grateful to know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God Almighty is life more abundantly and life eternal through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us the Holy Ghost, who is able to guide us unto all truth, who has been so faithful to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for groaning and interceding on our behalf. We have prayed for this hour that you alone be our teacher and preacher and wonderful counselor. Thank you for the work of holiness and righteousness you have begun in us, Lord Jesus. It is our fervent prayer that your Holy Spirit complete your own work of righteousness in us, for us, around us, and before us, until our last breath, and until you come in the clouds of glory to find us ready and prepared for our eternal abode. This is our humble cry and prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a little unusual for me to look at some of your faces, and I see Anne there, and I see Richard, and I see others whom I used to see face to face and hug. And now we're living in a time where hugs are very precious. When we are told that we have to keep a 6 feet distance from everybody else, it is unusual that God's people are unable to gather and assemble together in a church and in a sanctuary. It is quite perplexing that we see the whole world in a state of great conflict and dismay. As of today, around 20 million people have been infected by this virus. Thousands and ten thousands have died of that virus. But I thank God Almighty, because the Bible say, in all things give thanks, for it is the will of God concerning you through Christ Jesus. And the way to victory is to believe with all of our heart that all things do work together for good to those who love the Lord and those called according to his purpose. Even though thousands of people rested in peace, and even though there are 20 million cases in the world, we must praise God that billions of people in the world, including ourselves, have been spared of that virus. We need to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ that he is still watching over the universe. Yes, during this very time, the devil worked extra time in order to ignite a battle that he had begun in the Garden of Eden. And that is the battle of racism, the battle of prejudice. Of course, when we have seen that video and other video of the suffering and slow death of a dear child of God by the name of George Floyd, doesn't matter what our faith was and is, all of us were incensed. We were angered. We were troubled at heart that such a thing would happen in this nation. And when I saw that myself, I must admit, my carnal nature overwhelmed me, and I experienced some feelings I did not experience for years. But when I went to my knees and I began to pray, I am grateful that the Holy Spirit have taken over my heart and mind and soul. As I began to pray, the Holy Spirit began to minister to my heart. I began to pray for the billions of people. Yes, you heard me right. The billions of people in this world who are still suffering from this pandemic of sin in the form of hatred and prejudice. And as I continued to pray for those individuals worldwide, I began to pray that the Holy Spirit work mightily in all the police departments, in every governmental office, on the local, county, state, and federal levels, not just in the United States of America, but also throughout the world. Because the whole world, throughout the history of the earth, have suffered from this historic world pandemic that have claimed the life of billions of people from the days of Adam until our present day. I have some bad news for you from a biblical perspective, and I have some good news for you from a biblical perspective. From a biblical perspective, hatred and prejudice will continue until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. This is the bad news. Why? Because the author of sin and the arch racist who declared war from the beginning in the Garden of Eden against the woman, the church, and the remnant of her seeds, those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus, that arch racist is still alive and his day is going to come. But until then, there is the good news. The good news is that there is a cure and there is a vaccine for the pandemic of sin. And there is a cure and there is a vaccine for that sin of prejudice. As we have learned during this pandemic, that the medical community and the researchers began to extract blood from those who have successfully recovered from the COVID-19 disease. And they took their blood, and out of this blood, they took the serum, and they tried to inject it into the veins of those who are sickened by the disease. And it is reported that that was successful in many cases. For us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, our cure and our vaccine is indeed taken from the serum of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the question that the hymnist asks for all of us is this: have you gone to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace and power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? The Lord Jesus came. He came to save sinners in whom I am chief. And the Bible said that God so loved the world. Yes, people of all colors. Yes, people of all races and all national origin, males and females. He loved them all. And he came to save them all, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Today, I am very grateful to be a child of God and a member of the royal family. Just like all of us here, we are members of the royal family, and I am very grateful because the people I see right before me represent how heaven is going to look like. Because in the book of Revelation, John the Revelator have received the revelation, and he said, I have seen before the throne of God the redeemed, people of every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people on earth, in which we represent here. I'm very thankful that we have a pastor who loved the Lord Jesus Christ and loved his people, because all of us were created after the image of God. I want to read some verses in the book of Ephesians first. It tells us who God is, who we are, and what battles are we going to be battling on this earth against. If you have your Bible, please open it. If you don't, you can join me in listening to the voice of Christ through the Holy Scripture that is able to make us all wise unto salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, I will read only selected verses. I encourage you this week to go through this chapter again after the sermon and to examine the word of God to see whether the things are so. In verse 1, the Apostle Paul wrote, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Praise God for that. "But unto every one of us is given grace, a gift, according to the measure of the gift of Christ." And then if you go down to verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Verse 15. "And speaking the truth in love, may we grow unto him in all things, which is the head, Christ Jesus the Lord." All the way down to verse 26. As we face ourselves and we face the Savior, as we face the world and see every form of sin and all the violence thereof, we can't help but become angry. But here is the counsel to the body of Christ from Jesus Christ the Lord. In verse 26, "Be ye angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Very important counsel. "Neither give place to the devil," because if we reacted out of anger, we will be a vital tool in the hand of Satan. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." And here it is: "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." If I have not been able to preach the rest of the sermon, this is the message to the church in this time of great perplexities, because it is about to get worse. Not because I said that, because Jesus said that in the last days, there will be pestilence, there will be hunger, there will be nations rising against nation, there will be distress of nations, wars and rumors of wars, there will be earthquakes, and iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. When Jesus gave us those signs to the church, he said, when you watch it, watch and pray that you may be able to escape the things that are to come upon this world and to stand before the Son of Man. And he often told his disciples, who were very weak in the flesh, watch and pray, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. When I went to pray, after I have seen these videos then, I found myself led by the Holy Spirit to pray for the police department along with many people on this earth. And the next day we began to see the mighty power of God working in the lives of chief police across all the United States, who came beside the people, who acknowledged and condemned what happened and promised to make changes. We have the power of God on our side. My brothers and sisters, when Jesus met with the Samaritan woman said, we worship through our father Jacob. And when Jesus went into the synagogue, the established church, then the high priest, the scribes, the Pharisees, they said that they are the sons of Abraham. And they looked upon the Samaritans and all non-Jews as dogs. They were prejudiced. But let us spend together a few minutes looking at the history of prejudice in the Bible, because my brothers and sisters, if we define the problem wrong, the answer we give to that problem will also be wrong. If we understand the problem from a heavenly perspective, the Holy Spirit will guide us unto all truth and show us the way to victory. Let us go quickly to the Garden of Eden so God can expose to us the arch racist. In the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam and Eve, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, clearly that Adam and Eve, mankind, were created after the image of God. No other created beings were created after the image of God. You and I were created after the image of God. We represent the beauty, the wonder, the miraculous sight of who our God is. And therefore, when we look at every human being, male and female, regardless of their color, national origin, or even faith and religion, we are looking at prospects that people have in them to reflect the image of God Almighty. And every human being on earth, sinners such as I, are candidate for heaven. And my responsibility as a child of God is to make sure that my heart, my mind, my thought, my words, my interaction with every other sinner bring glory to God, not demise or desecration to the holy God who created us. In the Garden of Eden, Satan came, that serpent the Bible called him, and he began to talk to Eve, and we know the story. First, he came with lies and deception, and he began to create doubts in her mind. Soon enough, he began to create some discontentment about her status, that she can be like God, that he is holding something bigger for her, holding her down from becoming or feeling superior like him. And soon enough, she began to experience fears. If she did not take the devil at his word, she is going to be losing on something. Lies, deception, led to doubt, discontentment, and fears, and Eve fall. And what happened? Satan succeeded in prejudicing her heart against her creator. And if we look at Adam in the very Garden of Eden, he was not deceived. He feared that if he did not eat what Eve offered him, he would lose his wife and he wouldn't know how life it's going to be. Neither Eve nor Adam went to the Lord to consult with him. Both of their heart in the Garden of Eden were prejudiced against God. For a moment, there was a state of spiritual dementia and a code of silence. If we don't think about what God said, if we do not ask God about what is going on, it is justified to do what we need to do. And what happened? Adam and Eve had to be cast out of heaven, and that is an act of love. God did not want mankind to live in sin and die in sin. He had a plan of redemption, but listen to the journey of the ark races. I call him the ark races because there's only one ark races. He is the one who was determined from Eden to declare war and to terminate Adam's race, because Adam's race is the only race that was created after the image of God. And we know the story. Just be patient with me as we go through the journey in about 5 to 10 minutes. We go down in history and God calls upon Abraham. Of course, in the days of Noah, things were so wicked. And as Pastor Will was going through the Bible with us, we've seen that during the Tower of Babel, that people were so proud and arrogant that they thought they can make a tower that reached all the way to heaven. At that very moment, God decided to change their tongues and their languages, that they be confused and not be able to build the tower. And that was the beginning and the inception of different nations and different races, still after the image of God. Down the road, God calls Abraham out of the land of the Chaldeans. And in this land, they were worshipers of idols. So when he called Abraham, he did not call somebody who is qualified. God never calls the qualified, for all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God, not a righteous, not even one. God always qualifies the call as long as we walk by faith like Father Abraham. Abraham heard, Abraham believed, Abraham went, not knowing where he was going. And the Lord said that his faith was counted unto him for righteousness. But then he married Sarah. And we know the story, that God made a promise to Abraham, as he had made lots of promises to us. And he told him that he very much will be the father of faith, and that he will bring about great many seeds as the sand of the sea. And Sarah also heard the same message. But through time, Sarah was concerned that she is not conceiving, that she is barren. And rather than consulting God, the devil came to her mind again and told her, God promised you this, but he is not about to keep that promise. You got to do something about it. Listen to this carefully, my brothers, how Satan is still using the same technique from the beginning that he is using today. And then he got into her mind and she said, you know, and I'm going to go and buy myself a maid, a slave from the land of Egypt. Yes, that's what my mother Sarah did. And she got Hagar and she brought her to serve and eventually convinced Abraham that we can fulfill God's purpose our own way. Go ahead and lie down with this foreign woman. And Abraham did not consult with God over that either, just like the Garden of Eden. And he went about and laid with this woman, Hagar, and brought a child by the name of Ishmael. Soon enough, jealousy start to build in Sarah. And after God has given her Isaac and the promise, she ordered Abraham to get rid of this bond woman who was not a Jew, neither was she an Israelite. She was from Egypt and she was a bond woman. That is prejudice based on social status and national origin. The problem continued from there. The same ark races began to embed doubts in the hearts of God's children regarding the promises of God for them. And as we look at the story down the road, Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. And we know what happened in the house of Jacob with the 12 tribes of Israel, how Satan entered the heart of the brethren to turn them against their own brother. They were prejudiced. How did the father favor him over them? Satan worked very hard to make them hate him and sell him also as a slave. And that issue of slavery continues from there. But for the faithful like Joseph, Joseph never lost sight of who his God is. He never separated from who God is. He remained faithful even as a slave in the house of Potiphar. And Joseph maintained his line with God open. And we see how God prospered him, even though a child that has been hated and prejudiced against. And then he went up in the rank. And suddenly we see Joseph, the second most powerful man in Egypt, and he became the counselor and the father to Pharaoh. And when his brothers came to him, he was now very mature spiritually. He understood how God works, how God allows things, and how Satan is working to destroy the very elect. And they were so fearful to discover that that was Joseph. And Joseph said, "Don't be afraid. Yes, you've done what you've done. I forgive you. But it was not you who allowed it. It was God who allowed it that I may save you alive." Do you know, as you go down through the ages, you will see that the people of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, continued to war against one another. And the people of God were divided based on their faith and also based on their origin. Some believed I am of Gad. Another believed I am of Judah. And Judah opposed the rest of the tribes of Israel. And the place of God was always divided because of the subtlety and the deception of Satan. And if we look down at the first priesthood down the road, when God called Moses and saved his life, and Moses was raised in Egypt, that is my homeland. He was raised in Egypt, and yet he was an Israelite. And when he saw an Egyptian fighting with the Israelite, Moses, in his own limited carnal nature, killed the Egyptian and went fleeing. And God kept him in the wilderness for 40 years so he can be rehabilitated, to know how he works, and to know that every child of God is important in the eyes of God. And what happened? Eventually, God established his first church. The first sanctuary was built in Sinai. And God elected Aaron, the high priest, to be the first anointed high priest. He was the closest, along with Moses, to God. And also he elected Mary, the sister of Moses, to lead the song service. She was a prophetess. And what happened? Moses married a woman from an Ethiopian background. She was dark-skinned, and she was Ethiopian. She was not of the common wealth of Israel, and she did have a different color on her face. And the Bible said that Aaron the high priest, and Miriam, tried and tempted by Satan, believed that Moses have committed a grievous sin. And they came to him, and the Bible said they were angry with him. "Dare you that you have married a woman from an Ethiopian background? Don't you know that we are also prophets as important as you are?" And the Lord answered that in the book of Numbers, chapter 12. The Lord answered that very clearly. He brought them all to the sanctuary. And he talked to Aaron and Miriam, that this talk displeased him. He said, "To prophets I speak in visions and dreams, and to my servant Moses I speak face to face." And because Miriam and Aaron have committed such a sin of prejudice against Moses and against this woman, God made an example of Miriam before all Israel. And the Lord told Moses she's going to have to be stricken with leprosy. And Moses, the servant of God, who loved God and loved his family, pleaded, "Lord, please don't. Please forgive them. I forgive them. Please, Lord, forgive them." He said, "No, I have to make an example so all the people of Israel and all the people of God may understand that anyone who messes around with my own creation, messing around with the apple of my eyes, that all are created in the image of God, all are loved by one Savior and Redeemer." And Miriam was stricken with leprosy for a whole week. God has been merciful that after a whole week, she's been healed. But the message was clear through down the centuries. And then we see it continuous in the days of David, in the days of his son Solomon, and thereafter, and the people of God were divided. If you notice, my brothers and sisters, and you're going to see it in the New Testament, Satan targeted God's people. And when Jesus came on earth, he elected 12 apostles. And he took them. He said, you did not choose me. I have chosen you, and I have ordained you that you may go forth and bring great fruit to the harvest. And we see the disciples having their old love. They were prejudiced. They were quite prejudiced against the Canaanite woman who came pleading with Jesus that he may heal her daughter that was demon-possessed. And when they can see clearly by the way she looked and by the way she spoke with Jesus, she was clearly a Canaanite. They went to the other side and they told Jesus, let her go. She is incriminating us. And we know how Jesus responded to them to teach them what true Christianity looked like. He challenged the woman with what they have believed so they can hear the message. Because they looked upon the Canaanite, the Samaritan, and all the non-Jews as unclean dogs. Prejudice was implanted in their mind when they were growing up. And the Lord Jesus often corrected that. And worse yet, the people of the church who were preaching the Torah and preaching the oracle of God, their heart was gross and wicked. And they were so prejudiced against Jesus because of who he is. A son of a carpenter, given the power and the wisdom of God to make the blind see, to make the lame walk again, and to preach with truth and authority. They hated him, and prejudice inside him led them to kill the King of Glory. After Jesus ascended to heaven, the apostles continued to struggle with prejudice that those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ and be converted must look like us on the outside. They must be circumcised in order to be considered part of the commonwealth of Israel. And the Lord showed a vision to Peter and spoke to Paul to say, this is not the way I designed my salvation. My salvation is for all of my children whom I have created, because all of them were created after my image. And Jesus Christ came to save whosoever believeth in him. And then they got together in the Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. And the Holy Spirit came upon them, united them to discover that man look on the outside, but God ponders the heart. And that is the journey that we must undertake. Jeremiah said that the heart is gross and wicked. Who shall know it? The Lord said, I, the Lord, I know the heart. I try the reins to give every man according to his work may be. You think that the ark races stopped? He did not. History continued, and you go to the dark ages. Even under the mother church, many Christians believers who would not bow down to the papacy, who have bowed down to Jesus alone, were persecuted. And many of them lost their life because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And eventually they had to flee from Europe to find a new homeland. And that homeland was the United States of America. They came here with their strength. They came here with their weaknesses. They came here with a pure heart, and they came here with a gross heart. And some of them who came here came to really worship God in the beauty of holiness, looking at all mankind as equal in the eyes of God, but others did not. And when they arrived here, some forced the conversion of the Indians, and if they would not convert, they would be killed. And their land is taken. Others decided to go down to the ports of Africa and pick the best slaves there and tie them in ships and bring them to this great country and enslave them as property. I thank God Almighty that as the devil was working hard to enslave, to oppress, and to distress and to destroy, the Holy Spirit always worked mightily in the heart of his faithful servants to bring about the change and the deliverance. And we know that even though the Constitution say that all are made equal under the law, some believed it and some behaved it, some did not believe it, neither behaved it, and that's why we had the Civil War. 618,000 soldiers died. Some are fighting for the liberty of conscience and the liberty of God's people who are created after the image of God, and some fought against it. And I'm very grateful that in January 1st, 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed by President Abraham Lincoln, and that is to set all persons who are slave free. And the cost to that was his life 1 year later. And even though the slaves were free, yet they were not free, yet they were not equal. And the outrageous oppression continued in this great country of others. Slowly but surely, God has been working on the heart of his people. Yes, white, blacks, Hispanic, Asian, people of all colors in this country, God has been working upon them. And during the civil rights movement, and under the leadership of Christ, who have used his servant, who happened to be a pastor, Dr. Martin Luther King, through his faith in Jesus, through prayer, through peaceful marches, and through yielding to the Holy Spirit spoke ample truth through him, that these words of truth have set so many people in this country free. And then we see white and black, Hispanic and Asians, all locking arm together, joining in this divine campaign against the forces of destruction. And in 1964, 1 year after Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream," God heard his dream and heard his prayer. And the Civil Rights Act was signed by President Johnson London. And I'm very thankful that many, many good things happened after that. And freedom to vote, and the Equal Employment Act, and the equal rights under the law, we have come a long way. The cost to that man also, who was an African-American man, he lost his life for that cause of peace and liberty. The Bible said that they who are in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and the servant is not greater than his master. The question is, how am I using my life today? My brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us clearly that in Christ Jesus, there is no male or female, there is no bond or free, there is no Jew or Gentile, but all are one under the heavenly law of love. I want to conclude by sharing my own personal journey. Prejudice, as I said, is not just in the United States, and it is not a white man's disease. Let us diagnose that problem correctly. We have seen it from the beginning. There is only one arch racist, who is the author of sin and prejudice. When I was a child, my father died when I was 2 years and 7 months, and left my blessed mother, a poor widow with 8 children. I was next to the youngest. I was the darkest in my family. My father was dark from the south. My mother was a white complexion from the north, and I happened to be the darkest in the family. Even in my family, they will joke with me and give me a name, that I am different from them. I didn't make an issue of it. I did not see it as prejudice at all, as long as I was with my mom. You know, we have only one bedroom and one bed. You can imagine how many people on that bed and how many people on the floor. But I am grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ who gave me a mother like mine. She did not have a sixth grade education, but they had the word of God written on the tablets of her heart. She will wake up every morning at 5:45 in the morning. She would pray for a long time, quoting scriptures and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. She was my first church, and I'm very grateful for that. How about you? Are you the first church, your own children? I pray we are. We ought to be. And she taught me the name of Jesus. She taught me the power of prayer. She taught me the power of the scripture. But more than that, we were raised in a little village called the Village of the Jews. We had Jews there. We had Muslims there. And the people in Egypt at this time had some hostility toward Israel. Of course, has been a long history. My mother taught me that I am to love my neighbor as myself. She did not just teach me that. My mother, whenever she baked cookies or anything, I remember her taking me by the hand and going to our Muslim neighbors, and she would hand them some of the cookies. She would take me down to the Jewish building and knock at the door, and the ladies will come down, and she will share with them the cookies. And when she baked bread, she would also share with them. Also from my mom, I have seen the pains of poverty. I remember many a days we did not have enough food to eat. I remember her working very hard, sewing clothing for babies, and she got something every month in order to buy food for us. It was never enough. She would go and knock at the doors of our neighbors, Muslim and Jews. And she would ask if she can borrow some flour, some oil, some sugar, in order for us to eat. I have observed that with my own eyes. But her faith in Jesus was always sight. We never gone hungry. Yes, sometimes we lived on one meal a day. But all of these securities that I had in my life were gone. When my mom could no longer take care of eight of us, and somebody was sent by Christ, today I say that, to place me in a Christian orphanage. I was 4 and a half, and when I went to that Christian orphanage, I began to feel the pain and the sorrow and the confusion of prejudice. Yes, it was a Christian orphanage. Yes, they sent us to the best Christian schools. In these schools, we were sitting down, the orphan kids, next to children of officers, doctors, engineers. But when there is a problem in the school that held almost 2,000 kids, the first people the principal targeted were the orphan kids. And he would come on the PA and said, "All the orphan kids, come to the front." Right there, he made us feel the pain of prejudice based on social status. And all of the other kids would look at us and would call us names. And then when there is a party in the school and there is not enough cakes and enough drinks, they call us on the PA to come out of our classes, the orphan kids. And they send us home early because there is not enough food or cakes for us. Of course, we as children understood that we are less than everybody. I began to war with this concept, and I began to believe that my mother never loved me, that she would choose me to get rid of me and to place me in an orphanage. And as I began to grow older, I faced religious prejudice. As a Christian in a Muslim country at this time, we were looked down upon, and we cannot go that far in any place in government. Worse yet, I graduated from Nile Union Academy, a Christian high school that is not accredited by the Muslim government. Up till now, is not accredited by the Muslim government. This means they give us two options. They don't consider us fit for free Egyptian colleges. And so they give us two options, to join the military for 3 years or to leave the country to other nation who can take you. I have experienced the pain and the distresses of this form of prejudice. Secondly, I have also experienced interdenominational prejudice. And today we still have that exist in all the world. Even though Jesus is not divided, even though there is one body, one church, one God, one Savior, and one Father of all, we are still struggling of these prejudices. And after graduating from high school And before I came to the United States of America, Jesus kept me 3 years in Egypt for rehabilitation, just like he kept Saul. 4 years in Arabia, because Saul was prejudiced. He went about to kill everybody and to persecute everybody who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. God, after his conversion, took him away to the wilderness, 4 years of rehabilitation, until he became the Apostle Paul. God is still able to change heart, mind, character, and life, and nothing is impossible to him and to her who surrender the heart and mind and soul to the Lord Jesus even today. And I came to the United States so joyous that I'm coming to a Protestant Christian nation where I may not face any prejudice. And the first day I went to church, I was shocked. I went to a wonderful international church, mostly Caucasians. They were very kind to me. They were very welcoming, and I loved it there. But in the same sanctuary, there is other groups are worshiping, have the Korean and the Hispanic. I thought that these people are meeting together because of language barrier. But I went to get to know them. They spoke English very well. I did not think much about it. And I continued to serve in this church until I have become an elder and a board member. And at one time, we needed a new pastor because our pastor retired. And we had to invite many different pastors to come and preach, white, Hispanic, African-American. And among these was an African-American preacher who preached a powerful sermon, just like Pastor Yancey. And I was touched, and so were all the congregation were saying amen. And we got in the board meeting, and I went to dinner with some of the elders, and I shared with them, what do you think, brothers? I think this man is the one called to be the servant of God here. And I was very thankful that they have loved me enough to trust me to tell me, Abraham, your heart is right, and this man is a good man. But we white folks cannot function under a black shepherd. I was shocked, but I said nothing, done nothing, and continued to serve there. Then I was called to serve in an African-American church. I was also very blessed there. I was very loved, very helped, very encouraged. And it was an African-American church founded by African-American right here in the Bay Area. And I went about to help Bible studies, and the Lord gave an increase. Whites, African-American, Hispanic, Asian, all came to the knowledge of the gospel and started to come to church. And we began to see something unusual. Our African-American brothers and sisters began to feel unsafe, unsure, began to deal differently with the members of the Christ body. And the senior pastor has retired, and he was waiting there for another pastor to take over. And the president of the conference met with me. I suggested some names that are Caucasian, Asian, and others, including African-American. And he told me very honestly, Abraham, you were not raised in this country. You don't understand the pain our people have gone through. This congregation will not be able to have a white shepherd to guide them in Jesus' name. My heart was very troubled, my brothers and sisters. And after that, I went about to visit different churches, and I have discovered things that have broken my heart. Do you know, when we look at that video, we are looking at the officers and we are looking at the police department as the culprit. My brothers and sisters, the problem is in the Church of the Living Christ from the days of Adam until now. It has nothing to do with a specific race. We have seen that billions of people have given up their life and died because of that sin of prejudice. These officers and these firemen and firewomen, these councilmen and councilwomen, these congressmen and congresswomen, this president, Republican or Democrat, white or African American, these health professionals, these engineers are all members somewhere in some congregation in the body of Jesus Christ the Lord. We, the under shepherd, need to do a better job that when we are preaching the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we need to help the people understand that each and every one of us who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Each and every one of us is given gifts and skills. Each and every one of us is called to work in some employment. It is God who gave us the skill. It is God who called us. It is God who placed us in the employment we are in, that we may dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. The code of spiritual dementia when we go to work, the code of silence, is not the divine code of Jesus. To us, the servant of God, the Lord said, cry out, spare not, teach my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. To us who are members of the body of Christ, we are the light of the world, a city on a hill, that everybody in darkness may look and behold the glory of God through us. Because of that, I have gone through deep heart searching. And I have asked the Lord, where can I start? And the Holy Spirit clearly told me, examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self, whether ye be in Christ Jesus, lest you become a reprobate. My brothers and sisters, I am very thankful that I am still a work in the making, that we are works in the making. All of us, regardless of the beautiful colors God has given us, whether we are white or Hispanic or African-American or Asian, we all represent the beauty and the glory of God. Regardless of who we are, we need to examine ourselves, because here it is, the same system that Satan used in Eden have really affected my life, because I faced the pains of prejudice as a child, based on social status, based on my religious belief, and based on denominational divide. I have raised a wall to preserve myself using the same system toward others. My intent was just to protect myself for self-preservation, but I ended up discriminating and showing prejudice toward others, because prejudice is sin. And I am struggling with sin, but praise be to God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, who convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I am grateful for the mercy and grace of Jesus, who had forgiven me and cleansed my heart, and he is continuously working to change my heart and mind and character. We just read the scripture. Yes, certain things will prompt our anger, but the Bible said, be angry, yet sin not. And let not the sun sit on your anger. We have a Savior who is able to save to the uttermost. We have a God who is able, through prayer, to change heart and mind and character and life. I'm very thankful that he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a word to make the moon and star, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How patient and loving he must be. He is still working on you and me. I have asked the Lord to forgive me, because I thought, after I came to this country, that I'm a person who loves everybody, that I don't discriminate against anybody. The truth of the matter is, I still have problems with it. And I can confess to you that just 2 years ago, because I had by now 3 car accidents, I got hit from the back, I got hit from the side, and last January 15, I got hit on the freeway. My car was damaged, and the hit caused me to turn on the freeway, face the traffic, and I got hit 3 times. The car is completely totaled, and I am here by the grace of God. But as I drive, 3 years ago, many people will come across my way and really scare me. And you know, I began to look at them, and I began in my own car, I said, watch out, stupid. I called somebody Raka, a child of God, a pastor. And then I would look to see what kind of race they are from. And then I began to stereotype in my mind as to these people. And as I drive, whenever someone crossed me, whenever someone is driving erratically, I would tell, I guess what kind of race that from. Oh, it never fails. Until the Lord took me to the side as I was studying the Bible, until the Holy Spirit rebuked me. Because the three accidents I had, it was not that race. I have stereotyped people. I have thought ill of them because of my fears and my own insecurities. I was raised with fears and insecurities and the pains of the past and the events of the past is still lodging in my heart that I am responding to them in an ungodly way. I'm very grateful that Jesus is still working on my heart, that my heart is changing to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul and strength, and to love my neighbors regardless of their religion, regardless of their national origin, regarding of the skin of their color, as Jesus have loved me, a sinner. I pray with all of my heart that the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus, who began that good work in us, completed until the day of Christ's appearing. Let us remember clearly that there is one arch racist, and he spread the poison in many different forms into the church, because his goal is to destroy the church. And Jesus alarmed us, his people. He said, do not be afraid of him that destroy the body, but fear him who is able to destroy body and soul. And regarding Satan, Jesus alerted his disciples. He said he is a liar, a deceiver, and a murderer from the beginning. But I can say today, if God be for us, who can be against us? Remember, Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, Moses in Egypt, Joseph in prison. Because of their faith and prayer, and because of their trust in God, God changed and brought down kingdoms. He can do the same through you and me. If we trust in the Lord with all our heart, and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, let us acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. The cure and the vaccine is in our commitment into a life of prayer, a life of praise, a life of worship, and a life of service to all mankind. And as Jesus loved me, may the Holy Spirit help me to love my neighbor as myself. This is my prayer. In the most holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.